Go with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30, please. Oh, before I forget, I need to make an announcement. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be having a brother swing by. He's in the area, called me up and asked if he could come and give us an update on the ministry. He's one of the Bearing Precious Seed fellows, local church Bible publishers. We haven't met him. His name is Scott Pallman. But he's working under Brother John Green. And so he's in the area, and I asked if he could come by, so I said, sure. So he'll be here 2 weeks from tonight, on a Wednesday night. So we will be taking up a love offering that evening for him. So anyway, just want to let you know about that. And go with me to Exodus chapter 30 now, please. Tonight we're looking at the ransom money, here in the Old Testament law. Exodus 30, and I really like the ransom money because it is such one of those plain illustrations of Christ and what he's done. Ransom money, where we've been ransomed, ransom of the soul. So it's just right off the bat, get your mind thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. But anyway, Exodus chapter 30, verse 11, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. An half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. Let's pray before we get going. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this picture in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for us. And so, Lord, help us to see Christ this evening and to be encouraged and challenged by your word. I pray that you bless this time now. Bless also the prayer time afterwards in a few minutes. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So the silver ransom money. Notice it is silver. Silver ransom money, it's another beautiful picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's another way of the law, that the law points to the grace of Christ by pointing to the blood atonement of Christ, the blood payment. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The ransom for the soul pictures what the price Jesus paid on the cross for us, of course. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Okay, we weren't redeemed. We didn't actually pay for our souls with silver or gold. Not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious blood of Christ was what was the price that paid for our redemption. The word ransom means to satisfy a debt. Okay, it really has two meanings. One of them is to satisfy a debt with a full payment. We see that in Psalm 49. Go to Psalm 49. Ransom, one of the definitions, biblical definitions, is to satisfy a debt with the full payment. Psalm 49. This is how the word is used here in Psalm 49 and verse 7. Psalm 49 and verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Okay, we can't buy ourselves back. The Bible teaches us. We are not able to buy ourselves back. But the word ransom also means has another meaning in the Bible. It means to appease an offended party. Go to Exodus 21. This is the way this verse, the word is used here in Exodus 21. So the ransom means to satisfy a debt with a full payment, but on the other side of the coin, it also means to appease an offended party. Exodus 21, verse 30. Exodus 21, 30. If there be laid on him a sum of money, this is somebody who is a lawbreaker. He did something that the judge lays on him a sum of money for the penalty. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Okay? He has to appease an individual, appease the judge, if you will. And so, of course, that's exactly where we were when we needed ransom. We had a debt that we could not pay, but it needed satisfied. And we had offended someone. Chloe. Sharon, who did we offend? No, we didn't offend ourselves. Susie, who do we offend? We offended God. We offended God by our sin. God was the offended party who needed to be appeased. So we really needed ransomed. We really needed ransomed. So let's look at some of the lessons that we find in this ransom money, this story of the ransom money. First of all, first lesson, in Exodus 30, verse 12, we see that every man needed to pay this ransom. So we see that every person needed the ransom, every man. And of course, that goes right along with the New Testament story. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person needs ransomed. Every person has a sin debt that needs to be paid. Every person has offended God by their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ offers salvation as that ransom. So every person needed the ransom. Every man. Excuse me. Secondly, the ransom was required of those who were of age. Go back to Exodus 30 and look at verse 14. Exodus 30, back into the story here. And verse 14 says, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above. From 20 years old and above. So everyone that was of age. Okay? And Jesus said that salvation is for those who will believe. Who will believe. Okay? You have to believe the gospel. Karen, are you paying attention? You got to believe the gospel. But you, in order to believe the gospel, you have to understand the gospel, don't you? A little baby doesn't understand hardly anything. He understands when he's hungry. He understands when he's uncomfortable. That's about all a baby understands. And so a baby cannot believe. And so we see here in this that there is an age of accountability. One must be old enough to understand the gospel in order to believe it. Of age. And of course we understand that age of accountability is most likely different for every individual, right? Every person is made differently. Everybody matures differently at a different time. And so it's not a certain age. It's not five. It's not seven. It's different. And there are some people who are mentally handicapped that never reach that age of accountability, I don't believe. And they just don't understand. Are you volunteering to be one of those, Dad? You're already there. Okay. Oh, anyway. So there's some folks that God does never lay sin to their charge because they don't understand. They don't understand. And so they never reach that age of accountability. But the ransom was required of those who were of age. And Dad, I think you meet that requirement. I think you're of age. Anyway, so the third lesson this evening. The ransom was offered to God. The ransom was offered to God. Verse 12 says it was given unto the Lord. Ransom his soul unto every man. The middle of the verse. Then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. It's God that we have offended. So therefore it's God that we must appease. Right? We broke his holy laws. And God wants an acceptable sacrifice to appease our sin. And of course, Jesus became that acceptable sacrifice. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The ransom was offered to God. The Lord Jesus Christ offered himself to God in our place as the payment for our sin. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And of course we know that God testified that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Lord Jesus Christ met the Father's desire for an acceptable sacrifice. The ransom was offered to God. Fourthly, the ransom price was set by God. Exodus 30 verse 13 says, after the shekel of half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. Well, who set what the value was of the shekel of the sanctuary? God had set what the value was. A shekel is 20 gerahs, it says in that verse. God had set up all of the weights and balances for them based on the shekel. And so God had set the price. God said how valuable this price was that you have to pay. And it was a joint decision. God the Father did not decide alone that Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross. It was a joint decision in eternity past. First Peter 18:20 explains that. 1 Peter 18:20 says that Christ was who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was ordained by the triune God. But Jesus Christ himself was the volunteer. You see, the triune God had a council together, and they knew that man was going to sin, and Jesus Christ volunteered, I believe, to the Father that the only way to pay this sin debt is for me, Father Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay the sin, the debt of mankind. And so it was decided by the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, way before the foundation of the world was laid. God set the price. The triune God decided Jesus Christ was going to be the price. Furthermore, as along the lines of God set the price, he sets the price in that God will not accept a different price. God's not going to accept anything but the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's not going to be talked into your good works or my good works at the judgment seat. He's not going to accept anything that a man offers. My riches, well, they weren't yours to begin with. My lands, all land belongs to God. My good works, they're all filthy rags to me, God says. And so nothing that man can offer to God will be accepted as the price. The price is the blood of Jesus Christ. God set the price, and he's not going to change it. The ransom price was set by God. Fifthly, notice verse 15 of Exodus chapter 30. It says, the rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. The price was the same for every person. For the rich man, for the poor person, for the beggar, it was still the same. And that is, of course, the same for all of us as far as our sin debt. We are all sinners. We are all guilty before God. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We have the same price that needed paid. And praise God, Jesus Christ paid that price. The price was the same for every person. Jesus saith, in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the price tag. He was the price that was paid. Number six, sixth lesson from this. The ransom was available for all and within the reach of all. The amount was only one half shekel. Every Israelite was able to pay this. Well, how do you know? They had just come out of Egypt. They had just come out of Egypt. But it wasn't a big price. It wasn't a big price. It was something that they could all pay. Likewise, 1 Timothy 2:6 tells us Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. The ransom was available for all. The ransom is still available for all today. But the seventh lesson is right along these lines. How do I know they could all afford it? Because the price had been provided by God. That's the seventh lesson. The price had been provided by God. Go back to Exodus 11. Exodus 11. When this ransom tax was required, they had just come out of Egypt within 3 months earlier than this. They had been in the wilderness that whole time getting to Mount Sinai. It's not like they had a lot of malls and grocery stores that they could stop at along the way and spend all their money. But so they had just come out of Egypt. They were still flush with Egypt's money. Exodus 11, verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And then skip over to verse 12, chapter 12, chapter 12 and verse 36. Chapter 12 and verse 36. Exodus 12:36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They lent unto them. Did they give it back? No. The Egyptians might have thought they were lending it to them, but the Israelites knew, this is my payment for all the work I've done for all these many years. And my father did, and my father's father did. So you're paying up right now for all this time. So the price had been provided by God. God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians because of God himself. And likewise, for us, God provided the ransom price with the cost of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God ransomed sinners by becoming sin for us himself. Go to Hosea 13:14. Hosea 13:14. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. That's all those minor prophets. I have to do that. I know Ezekiel and Daniel and then go from there. Hosea 13, verse 14. God is speaking here in these verses. He says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. That last phrase, repentance shall be hid from mine eyes, it means he's not going to change his mind. I will not change my mind on this. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. I'm not going to change. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. And that's, of course, what Jesus did. And then this verse is referred to by the Apostle Paul. O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? In the New Testament, he refers to this. So God provided the ransom. He himself was the ransom payment. Just as God had provided a ram in the place of Isaac, so he had provided his son as a ransom for sinners. And now we are simply invited to partake. God doesn't require any work from us. There's nothing left for us to do. He just says, come. Come and partake of the salvation I offer you. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Jesus did all of the work of salvation. It is now a free gift of God. Isaiah 55, 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is a picture of salvation here. You can have salvation free, eternal life, wine and milk, without money and without price. Free eternal life. God provided himself as the price for us. And we get to partake of salvation freely. Eighth lesson this evening of the ransom money. The ransom price was sufficient. the ransom price was sufficient. Nothing had to be added by the supplicant. Nothing more than half a shekel had to be added. Well, I don't think that. I think I'm worth more than that. Can I give another quarter shekel? No. Just half a shekel. That's all you have to give. Likewise, Christ purchased our full and eternal salvation through his blood. Salvation is now a free gift, which the believer is perfected forever through. We're perfected forever through the Christ's offering. Hebrews 10:14 tells us, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." It's a free gift, a free gift. The ransom price was sufficient. Number 9. Each individual, I think this is really neat. Each individual bringing the ransom price was counted. Each individual bringing the ransom price was counted. Go back to Exodus chapter 30 and verse 14. Exodus 30 verse 14. I like this one. This one gives me a great reason to read the genealogies. Exodus 30 verse 14. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered. In other words, the idea is they lined up and they came one at a time and they were counted. They were registered, if you will. They were registered. The individuals passed under the watch care of the priest. The priest acted as a shepherd, counting his sheep as they entered his fold. Ezekiel 20:37 says, "And I will cause you," God says, "and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Pass under the rod means he's counting. One, two, are all my sheep here? Three, four, pass under the rod. Take up an accounting of your sheep at the end of the day is the idea. "I will cause you to pass under the rod," God says, "and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." The Lord knows his sheep is the idea. The Lord knows his sheep. He's got the right count. He knows every individual. None of them is going to perish. John 10:27 talks about that. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." He's got his sheep counted. And just as the redeemed Israelites were known by name and known by tribe, their genealogy was known and known and known, their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather, it was all recorded and written down in the Jewish records meticulously. And of course, we have those genealogies, and they are meticulous. And sometimes it gets a little dry as you read through that. But the next time you read that, you read a tedious genealogy, stop and thank God for the tediousness of the Lamb's Book of Life. The tediousness and meticulousness of the Lamb's Book of Life. His care in not leaving any of his children's names out of that book. Because what a horrible, terrible thing it would be, and it's not going to happen, but it would be if you got saved, and you served the Lord Jesus Christ all your life, and you knew you were saved, and you got to heaven, and somebody made a mistake. Your name's not there. I can't read it. It's all smudgy. "Gabriel, did you write this?" "Yeah, I was tired that day, bored. I was thinking about something else. I don't know what I wrote anymore." What a terrible thing. If your name was the one that was accidentally left out. But God's records are meticulous. He's extra, extra careful to get it right. And so when you read all these, "and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so," think of the Lamb's Book of Life and how grateful you're going to be when he finally comes across your name. Derek Seeley. Praise God, it's in there. So praise the Lord when you read those verses. "And Korah begat Uzziah." Praise God! And Uzziah begat his son. Yes! My name's going to be there because God proved how meticulous he was with this book right here. Each individual bringing the ransom price was counted. His name was put in there. Praise the Lord for that. And lastly, last lesson, the ransom money, the ransom money that was brought caused the individual to be adopted into, if you will, God's family in the Israelite economy. They became one of God's children, if you will. One of the Israelites, an accepted Israelite. And it gave him a place as a servant and a soldier in Israel, and a place in the tribe. Likewise, through salvation, the believing sinner is adopted into God's family. We become a soldier in God's army. We become an ambassador for Christ. We become a friend of God. We become a son or daughter of God. We become one of His beloved. Oh, we become so many things when we ask Christ to save us. We're placed into God's family. We become a servant and soldier. Henry Soltau, in his book, The Tabernacle, the Priesthood, and the Offerings, Henry Soltau said this, quote, "The Israelite who paid his ransom money was numbered as a soldier and a servant for God. A place was assigned him in the battlefield, and he had his position in the camp, appointed with reference to the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God in the midst of the hosts. From henceforth, Jehovah was his leader, his Lord, his King. In like manner, the believers redeemed to God by the blood of Christ from the world and from slavery to sin and Satan, that he may be a soldier and a servant of the Most High, to be led, guided, and sustained by him who has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light." End quote. We are bought with that ransom money into the family of God. Last thing this evening I want to look at. I want to look at one of the times in the Bible, or the time in the Bible, when the ransom money was not paid. Go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. The time in the Bible when the ransom money was not paid. 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 7. And I want to look at this because this is an instance where unsaved men, and I don't know of any specific instance where they have done this to this passage, but unsaved men will look at the Bible, the Old Testament in general, and declare that the God of the Old Testament was a bloody and unmerciful God if he would do what he did to his own people, and yada, yada, yada. And this is one of those instances where an unsaved person could look at God's word and misinterpret it because they don't understand. 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 7. "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?'" For some reason, Joab knew that this wasn't the right way to go about this. Verse 4, "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 70,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel." Skip down to verse 14. "So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men." Somebody who is unsaved and is unable to understand the things of the Spirit of God would say this proves that the Old Testament God of the Bible is a bloody and unmerciful God, because no merciful God would have done that to the people just because the king sinned. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." God did not kill 70,000 in Israel simply because David sinned in pride. Now, granted, there was going to be a punishment for David's sin, and God, in his wisdom, included that in this punishment. But just because David sinned was not the cause 70,000 men died. Okay? There was a great, much greater meaning behind this. God sent a judgment on the nation because he had to uphold the picture of the ransom money. God had to uphold the picture of the ransom money. Go back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 30 and verse. Look at verse 12 again. Exodus 30 and verse 12. The Bible says, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them." Right there, God warned that the plague is going to come if you don't take up the ransom for the soul tax, if you will, the ransom for the soul price, when you number them. And for some reason, David did not do that. If he was going to number them at all, he should have ordered that Joab, you also take up the half shekel for God, that there be no plague among the people. But there was no half shekel taken up. There was no half shekel taken up. And so the message here in this is simple. God had to uphold the picture. The picture was much greater than men's lives. The picture here was that the ransom for the soul picture is that God is going to pay the price for every soul. Every soul must be ransomed. Every soul has to be ransomed when they're numbered. When you stand before God and are numbered before God, there had better be a ransom for you given. And if not, if there is no ransom given, you are in big trouble with God. That was the picture of the ransom tax. And that picture was much more important than David's pride and what David had done. And so because David did not complete the picture, and the fact, and they were numbered before the Lord, but no ransom was given, no ransom for their soul was given before the Lord. And so God had to look at his picture and say, "Well, this was the picture I gave you. You've numbered yourselves before me. I have no choice but to bring judgment because there's no ransom for your soul, you see. I have to fulfill the picture and bring judgment because there is no ransom given for your soul." And so that's why 70,000 men died. That's why 70,000 men died. 70,000 men was not the payment for David's sin. David sinned, yes, and in this judgment, David's sin was punished. But it was a much bigger reason here that God killed 70,000. The message is simple. When man is numbered, you must have numbered before the Lord, you must have a ransom given for your soul, or judgment will always come upon you. You have to have a ransom. You have to have a ransom. God was upholding that picture. And this doesn't have anything to do, this next one doesn't have anything to do with the ransom money, but this is along the same lines. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. This is another one where somebody might say, God is unmerciful because they're not a spiritual person. They don't understand how important the truths of the Bible, the pictures that the truths picture, how important they are. The message God was sending to Israel throughout all time by the pictures had to be upheld. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, the Ark of the Covenant was returned by the Philistines. The Ark had been in their country 5 months. They had been tormented for 5 months, and they said, "Finally, let's give this thing back, and we'll figure out if God Jehovah is tormenting us. We'll put it in a new cart, and if we'll put milking mama cows in front of that cart. And if they go on their own to Israel, we'll know God did this judgment. And if not, if they don't go to Israel, we'll know it was just a happenstance." And verse 13. And we know in verse 12, "The kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway lowing as they went. They turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 13, and they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Verse 15 now, and the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And then skip down to verse 19. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. Was it because it was such a great sin just to look in the ark? Well, it was a sin. It was a sin. But the reason God slew that many of them was because of the picture they broke. The picture they broke. The mercy seat, the top, the lid of the ark, the mercy seat, was supposed to stay on the ark at all times. It pictured God's mercy covering the law of Moses, which was inside. God's mercy covered the law of Moses, therefore we are not consumed. But they took that lid off to look inside. They removed the mercy of God away from the law. And because of that picture, which was far, far more important to God than anything else right then, because of that picture, God had to send judgment. You've taken my mercy away from my law, this is what happens. 50,000 people die. You see. And so God wasn't being unreasonable and unjust. He was giving the world a huge, important picture, and upholding his picture that he already given Israel. When you take God's mercy away from his law, judgment will fall upon you every time, you see. So anyway, I just wanted to add those two little things in there as an add-on to this ransom money, because one of them had to do with it. But people will say, the Old Testament God is a God of bloody and blood and vengeance. He's a God of mercy and grace. And he offers mercy and grace until the ransom isn't there, or until his mercy is removed from the law, or something like that. Then God's judgment has to fall. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, and thank you for all of these Old Testament pictures, pointing us over and over again back to Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us. Pray, Lord, that you bless this prayer time now. In your name we ask. Amen.